I should warn you, when I ask a question, I'm expecting an answer. And we have to be out of here by 10:30. So there won't be a lot of lag time. When you listen to the words of the gospel that was read this morning, I hope you can hear them clearly. What did you hear? What runs through your mind as you imagine what it might have been like to have been in that room with those disciples?
Well, first, I'm frightened.
Yeah.
Terrified.
They were terrified. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you have been so frightened, you just all gathered together and spoke to other people or sat in silence with other people? How would you respond to fear like that? None of you have been afraid.
They were afraid of crucifixion by the Jews.
They were afraid.
Yeah.
Are we?
Maybe we should be.
That's enough. Thank you very much. Can you imagine being in a room where you're hiding and you're afraid? The doors are closed and locked. And somebody suddenly shows up in the midst of you who wasn't there a minute before and says to you, "Peace be with you." How would you respond?
Well, first you'd be afraid again. More afraid.
You might be terrified. I might consider laughing, which because I do that a lot when I'm afraid. Those are frightening descriptions. And they give us an opportunity to explore how we would react to being afraid. And all of a sudden, someone who's precious to us, whom we believe to be dead, is standing in the midst of us, reaching out to us, breathing on us. Can you think of another passage anywhere in Scripture where somebody breathes and somebody else responds to that breathing?
Genesis.
And the dry bones? Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Are there dry bones here? Dry bones are interesting. But how do they get into a room through a locked door? This is a very uncertain kind of situation we find ourselves in. And Jesus does something that I believe is very powerful. He breathes on them and says to them, "The sins you retain are retained, and the sins you forgive are forgiven." Now, what happens in Genesis when God breathes into that creature he has formed out of the dirt? Life. All of a sudden, that muddy creature, like us, becomes alive. We are filled with the breath of God. We carry with us the breath of God. It is the breath of God that gives us life. And the words that the words that God is speaking to us are words of love and forgiveness. Who do we have to forgive first before we can begin any kind of significant ministry?
Ourselves.
The most difficult act of forgiveness is to forgive ourselves. And if we don't believe that we can forgive ourselves, how can we believe anybody else is going to forgive us? When I was a young priest, a woman came to make her confession. I may have told you this story. She said to me, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned, and what I'm about to tell you will be the worst you'll ever hear." And I said, "You've got to go a long way to top what you just told me." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, pride, you know, is a deadly sin. And you just told me you were the worst sinner in the world." She was in pain and agony. We get caught up in that, and we can't believe we're going to be forgiven. And what God is saying to us is, "I love you, you are forgiven. You are now carrying with you the new source of life, the breath of God. We are the breath of God in a world that is tearing itself to pieces. We're in the midst of tragedy. If we're not afraid, we're not reading the newspaper or listening to the TV news. Thinking about my friends in Nigeria, it is so frightening to imagine what they're going through and the uncertainty that they're living with every day. Can you imagine having been in Kenya the other day where the college campus is invaded? I wonder what it was like in September of the 1982, was it? 83? No, 2003? I forget dates.
Yeah.
I think I was born one of those days, but I'm not sure. All of a sudden, the Twin Towers in New York City come crashing down, and innocent people all around the place are dead. And people who are religious are acting on the basis of their religion to bring fear and trembling into the midst of us. What's going on? We have in this country a custom that puzzles me beyond belief. We call it the death penalty. We're so preoccupied with punishment that we forget that the need is for rehabilitation. That human beings make mistakes. The worst punishment in the world would be to have to spend the rest of your life sitting in a box, thinking about what you've done and wrestling with it and trying to learn to repent and do something constructive with your life, even in that limited space. But I don't see anybody protesting against murder. And that's what it is. We are ambassadors that have a message to deliver. Jesus Christ has breathed upon us, and he is sending us forth from this place, having been fed with his body and blood, to go out into a world torn apart by fear, to deliver a message of love and forgiveness. And we cannot do that alone. We must, as we do when we say the Lord's Prayer, hold each other's hands. Go in peace.